Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. Jeff Armstrong is back on the See Something, Do Something series. He's the executive director of Family Promise of the Midlands, a nonprofit in Columbia, South Carolina, in that Midlands area of South Carolina. They work with faith-based organizations to tackle homelessness in their region. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hey, Joanne. Great to be back.
Last time you were my guest, you shared your story of experiencing homelessness and poverty throughout your early years. You shared a story that I remember about the 29 cent hamburgers at AM PM.
That's right.
I really appreciate your candor, your vulnerability, and putting yourself out there so we all have the opportunity to learn and grow. Today, I want to talk about action. You've been crazy successful at bringing a lot of attention and a lot of resources to Family Promise of the Midlands. I mean, you've been on, what was it, Good Morning America or the Today Show? Which one?
Today Show, but you could speak Good Morning America to existence.
Okay, I'll speak that into existence.
That for us too. Yeah, there you go.
You've been on the Today Show, and I know you're headed for Good Morning America. How about that?
That's right.
Not every nonprofit leader can say that. Heck, not very many leaders, period. So my first question for you is, how do you get people to care about a cause? There are a gazillion causes. I mean, we got everything from animal rights, to human trafficking, to homelessness, to I can't even name all of them. So we got international crises. We got so many societal needs, health inequity, health disparities. How do you get people to care, to really give a darn?
Well, Joanne, I would say, first and foremost, I think if we're going to draw links to a particular cause and then say that this link is directly related to, so I would say, gangs, right? Or I would say trafficking. These different challenges all come from unstable households. And when you lack that stability, what many things can happen to you. And getting involved in these different worlds where you're looking for a sense of family, you're looking for a sense of community. So by keeping families together, by helping them build that structure, that foundation, what we're doing by addressing homelessness is ensuring that these young men are, I don't want to say men, these teenagers that I'm speaking to at Department of Juvenile Justice, don't join those gangs, don't commit those acts because their household structure is strong. They're not seeking other things because their mom has to work three jobs, right? When you're at home by yourself and you're 13, 14 years old, generally speaking, there's going to be a lot of different things for you to be involved in. So my point in that is that homelessness, I think, is at the root of many of these challenges. And again, you even mentioning international, you know, I'm just one of those people, and international causes are incredible. And I'd say, you know, people to be involved at wherever your heart is. But when it's your own backyard and you see people struggling and you know it's just a couple of different steps, one door that can open for someone, for a head of household, or for a mother to know how beautiful she is, how intelligent she is, whether she's heard it or not in her life, to then pass that on to her children. It's having that type of structure. To me, it's all around that housing instability. So if we can address that, there's going to be less gang activity. There's going to be less chances for our young children to seek people who give them that type of attention, that credibly negative, to be able to, you know, have predators being, it's just so many things that I think homelessness is attached to, that if we address that, then there's a lot of these other issues that can also be lessened.
Okay, Jeff, you just did what politicians do. You talked a lot and you got your point in about homelessness, but you never answered my question. My question was, how do you get people to really care about these issues? Like, what is it that you do to get me, Joanne Smichael, to care? What is that work?
So if directly, I'm peeling back layers in your life and world that could show you how if a few different things happened that you would be in the same position. You know, that you would be experiencing homelessness if these few blocks, these building blocks tumbled. And to me, that's where I can really help folks peel back those layers and help them understand that, listen, if you didn't have someone in your corner, if you didn't have someone to come on a, you know, parent teacher conference night, if you didn't have new shoes to start the beginning of the school year, if you had a different friend circle, if you went to this particular school in this community, all these things where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I had it pretty good. I don't even, it's just how I lived. I didn't really, it's the same thing with people living in poverty. It took me until I was 15 years old and our family moved from California to Virginia and my basketball teammates, we all lived in poverty. The baseball teams I played on lived in very nice communities. It took me till I was 15 years old to truly realize that, oh man, I live much different than listen, they had decorative soap in the bathroom that you couldn't use. I was blown away, right? I was like, what is this decorative soap? What are all, I thought, I didn't even know cereal came in boxes because I was so used to getting the generic big bag version. I'm like, how do you have so many cereals in what is a pantry? So I was 15 years old when I realized it's the same thing when you live comfortably. It's not a knock on being blessed. It's helping you peel back the layers to understand that, oh wow, if I grew up that way, what doors were open for me because of my family's connections or because of a friend of the family who knew a person who had an internship? What doors were open for me that aren't open for people in this community? So that's to answer your question in a non-political manner, that would be my answer. Let's peel back the layers in which you're given opportunities that you wouldn't if you lived in this particular community and grew up this way.
So you're talking about exposure, exposing
Absolutely.
people to. I
Absolutely.
got you.
Because if you
I
don't know a
got
difference, then you know, so now yeah, I get that decorative soap and I, it's not even a thing anymore. I don't think it's even in style, but I get it. And listen, when
Do
I
they
grew up,
still make
you know,
it?
I find it on, you can find anything on, I don't even know if I want to say Amazon, but yeah, anyway.
On eBay, Amazon,
There you
yes.
go. Yeah, one of them. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I love that. I know that you really se are serious about it. I'm laughing, but I know
No,
that you're
for sure.
serious about engaging people in the fight for housing for all. One of the things that you've done is you've gotten big names like Coach Dawn Staley and other, and you know I'm a fangirl,
That's
so
right.
loving the W and loving the Gamecocks women's team and
That's right.
crazy about Coach Dawn Staley, and you actually got her to come to your gala and spend time at your gala. You've gotten other athletes whose names I don't even remember because I'm hooked on the W and Dawn
Right,
Staley,
that's right.
but you've gotten them to engage with Family Promise, and that's notable. It's awesome. But everybody isn't Dawn Staley, and public policy matters when it comes to addressing any social issue. So, how do you get people like me, everyday people, to impact public policy to create change in how we address all these complex issues? What can Joanne Smichael do to impact public policy?
You can talk from your own experiences of seeing people start, as I mentioned, day one, where they start to where they are now. Success stories are incredible. You know, we spoke on our first session about people who pull at heartstrings by telling you how sad and down everything is. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the positive. You know, and so you being an advocate by sharing, you know what? I knew this person or this organization has done this work where I've seen this many families move from homelessness to housed, and those families are coming back. That rate of recidivism is very low there. That's incredible. So what are they doing that could be duplicated somewhere else? So how can you go out and be an advocate and say, you know what, I've seen it with my own two eyes. I've seen my church, I've seen this civic group that I'm involved in help these people through this organization or this cause, and it works. So mm-hmm. I think simply by advocating in that way, and you know, I really have a tough time. I always tell people, you know, I want to lead the orchestra. I don't want to bang the loudest drum. You know, I don't want to. We know the numbers. We know this. We hear about affordable housing. The challenges there. We know about that. Mm-hmm. You know, you get people to say the same thing over and over. We're going to tune you out. It's human nature.
Yes.
So
yes.
What can we say to bring you to open up your eyes? Right. What can we do? And you mentioned Coach Staley, and fortunately, you know, it's Joanne. It's if you build it, they will come. You know what I mean? You can't just have a relationship with someone and they attach their name to you because of a relationship. They have to see, oh, your heart is really in it. You know, mm-hmm. Coach Staley at our gala said, Jeff, this is your calling. Mm-hmm. I see the passion. I see that you care. And I'm not saying other people don't. It's just you have to have authentic, real stories to move people. And then you get their attention. And then you can hit them with the data, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to grab their attention first. If I come up giving you a bunch of numbers, and there's people that operate in this way, so I wish I had their brains, but I keep those kind of people around me because I don't operate. But I could give you a bunch of data and in one ear, out of the other.
Yeah,
because we know it. We see it. I see it every day. I see homelessness, right? What are we doing to help these folks that are living this lifestyle that look like they're almost, this is their community. And the thing about it is, even if you go to them and ask, it's the lack of rules. Mm-hmm. You know, so even shelters that we like to say are low barrier, you know, yes, they are low barrier, but if someone can sleep in a tent or by themselves and not sleep to, you know, 199 other people in a space, they don't have to worry about their stuff. They could kind of keep. So anyway, we could get into a much deeper conversation with that part. But my point is saying that we know the mm-hmm. issues, we know the challenges. Let's talk about where folks are doing it right. Let's talk about how they're doing it, and then how we can provide that layer of support around them to make a greater impact.
Okay. In terms of public policy, do you want me to write letters to my congressman? Do you want me to, what do you want me to do? Like, do you want me to, I know one of the things that was really big here some years ago was going to county council and testifying and telling them why we needed more housing for low-wage workers here in Howard County. You want me to do stuff like that? I mean, what is it that we can do?
I believe all of that is helpful in its own way. And without getting too political here, or trying not to get too political, I've been in city council, county council meetings, and I've seen people do that. I've seen the reactions. You know, I've understand that business community matters. And if you have 30 people congregating outside of your business, that you may not get the same customers that you would if they weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the different arguments. I would say, again, go back to finding where you feel is comfortable for you to make the greatest impact you can by getting involved. I love direct involvement. You know, I think, yes, it is great to go and speak in front of our city council, county council leadership, but there's also ways that you can support organizations doing the work locally and helping them develop those success stories I spoke about just a second ago. How can we get more success stories? So when you talk about the different exposure that we've gotten, it's because community members came together to provide a house, you know, to in my dream of our partner congregations providing, you know, there's parsonages on their property that's going unused. How about we use that for our families? Mm-hmm. Let us use 10 of those. Now at the end of the year, we have 10 success stories of 10 families who have moved on to permanent housing. Now that number of 10 increases. Now we have a whole community of people, not just one person banging a drum, but a whole community, a whole church showing up to a council meeting to say, hey, this works. We need to do this more. You know, that's the thing is I want action more than I want talk. And okay. That's where I think we've been able to truly show how we've done it and then develop those success stories to present.
Okay. So you are wanting people to testify.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in the traditional sense.
That's right.
You know, I struggle because I look at issues like homelessness, hunger, and I don't feel like they're getting better. Frankly, I feel like they're getting worse. And I'll tell you, Jeff, I volunteer at my church's food pantry, and the lines are not getting shorter, they're getting longer. And it can be depressing. So what is it that you think thwarts real progress, sustainable progress, both at the, you know, the micro level at my little church food pantry and at the macro level? What is getting in the way of sustainable positive change?
Wow, Joanne. I mean, that's such a, I love the question. I would say, here's the thing, and I believe you know this about me. I like to say I'm a cultural broker mm-hmm. because I believe that I could explain to both sides what the other side is going through, be that person to translate. Mm-hmm. Right? So that culture of poverty where, and I'm saying this, and you know, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or feel like that food pantry is so important, right? But when you run, when your food pantry runs out of food, that person is going to go to the next food pantry if they didn't get their needs met there. And then they're going to keep going to the, right? So that culture, I understand it in such a way that allows me to say, you know what, let me show you what how you feel when you don't have to resource hop. Let me show you what it feels like to not have to sit in an office for 3 hours to get a particular resource to hear you don't have the right identification and you got to come back tomorrow. Let me show you what that feels like. So that keeps me hopeful is that if we can teach each side, if I could teach someone who's living in poverty how nice it feels to not have to make payment arrangements, how nice it feels to not have your power be turned off. Because mm-hmm. I remember that as vividly as a child. So it's like now it's rough on me because I don't ask anyone for a dime. I've tried to leave that world so far behind me. And I'm very candid, Joanne, and I'll share this here. And I haven't even shared this with you outside of this space, but I found out my brother passed away a couple of weeks ago. And he ran away at 16 and I was 4 years old. We didn't have a lot of contact over the years, but every time he would come back into my life, he would take something from me and then not call me for many years and then come back when he needed something again, right? So I share that to say, I didn't judge my brother for doing that. I knew that's how he thought he needed to operate. And even though I was a younger brother and he was an older brother, and I always desired to have an older brother in my life, you know, those, I share that story just to help people, your listeners, understand that there's things that happen in our life that make us a specific way. But man, if I could show you what this world feels like, my high school basketball coach, who I credit for changing my life forever, gave me one of the greatest lessons I could have ever asked for in my life. I was going to practice. It was winter time. Our family didn't have a car. I was 15, about to turn 16. And I had to take the city bus because the school buses weren't running during winter break. And I saw my basketball coach driving up the street, and it was cold outside. And this type of person he was. He sounded like he was screaming, cussing at you, but he never cussed, right? So he's driving up the street, Still remember, he's in his Nissan Altima, windows rolled down, even though it's freezing outside, listening to the gospel, clapping his hands like nobody's business. And he sees me as he's driving past, and I get my bag, and I'm like, man, coach is going to take me to practice. Wonderful. And he keeps driving up the street. And I'm looking, and I'm like, wow. And not only am I embarrassed because there's a couple other people at the bus stop with me, but I'm like, why did coach not pick me up? So I end up getting to practice, and I'm the first one there. And he calls me over, and he asked me, said, son, do you know why I didn't pick you up this morning? And I had a million answers I wanted to give him, Joanne, but I didn't answer his question because I didn't want to
start with the fact that because you're a jerk.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, that was back in the day we used to run with bricks. And I was like, I don't want to run on the track with bricks. So I didn't say anything. He said, son, I heard you didn't sign up for driver's education class. And I said, coach, why would I sign up for the class? My family doesn't have a car. And he said to me, don't let where you are today shape your tomorrow. Right. Wow. Stuck with me forever. And he didn't have to do that. He did not have to share that with me, but he did. And my point in sharing that is sometimes, see, that lesson you may have heard at 4 or 5 years old, that you could be everything in life. And I didn't hear that till I was 15, almost 16 years old. That's my point, is that our families, the people that we're serving, they do not hear this message of hope and inspiration, but we can provide that for them. I truly believe it.
Mm-hmm. And I think those messages of hope and inspiration sometimes are all that people need, but often they need more than that. Often they need more than that. So how do you stay charged up and committed? Because for the years I've known you, you're always like amped on homelessness. It's like, how much Gatorade or what's that stuff? How much whatever that thing energy is.
Drink. Right.
Yeah, how much that energy drink do you drink? So how is it that you stay charged up and committed to the struggle? And I know that sounds dramatic, but
no, I'm
you're optimistic and you're hopeful. And I wonder, how do you keep that going?
I'm with you. I do it for the young me and all the young me's in the nation. Mm-hmm. I always say my personal mission will always be primary, no matter where I am, whether it's business or nonprofit. It is to help as many children struggling as possible. What ways can I do that? That's what charges me up every day. It's the lessons that I've been blessed enough for someone to give me and my basketball coach. Mm-hmm. Joanne, I feel like I owe him. I feel like I owe you. And I always go back to this lunch that you took me to, but that was my first time in a really fancy restaurant. I'm not trying to put your business out there, but I don't even know. It might not even been that fancy, but in my mind, it was really fancy. They had like beautiful water glass. I remember every single detail of that meeting and what you said to me. And it's like those people that believe that I could be more and desire more for me, I owe them. So I bring that energy with me no matter what in everything I do, because listen, I there's nothing special about me. You know, I mentioned a partnership we have with our local HBCU here, Benedict College, and we partner with them and we built a food pantry there on campus for students who are going through challenges, and in partnership with the social work team there. And when they bring their students here, they come to my office and we sit and talk. We just have a real conversation with 25, 30 students. And I don't know how, but my office is big enough to have that many people in the office. But it's like, I want them to see, but it wasn't always like this. But they need to see that success that comes with those challenges. Like you said, it's not just the story. No, it's not. I have to put work in and day out. So that energy is like, I need to continue to show our young people what is possible. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes when it comes to having this, unlimited energy to make that happen.
So it's not just tell, it's show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What's the self-care stuff that you do? I know you're a bodybuilder. I've seen those recent pictures.
Listen.
I don't know when that happened, but you're buff now.
I appreciate that. Listen, I think it's really good genes because all I do is push-ups, Joanne. So I appreciate you saying that I'm a bodybuilder. but yeah, I think I'm just very fortunate to have. But no, that's the area I really need to improve on. But you know, I'm in that season of my oldest daughter is 14, my youngest is 10. So it's truly all about them. And I know that one day it'll be about me, and then I'll miss all the times I have with them while they're young. So I don't get a lot of self-care in probably the way I need to. That's an area in life that I probably am struggling on. But you know, it's about me too. My mom, it was a dream of mine to take care of my mom, when I was growing up, when I wasn't strong enough to protect her. So now I'm able to do that. You know, so she lives with us too. So I'm spinning. I like to say, the jugglers that spin plates, you know, I'm spinning a lot of plates, and I rarely, if ever, even put mine on whatever tool they use to spin plates. I don't spin my plate enough, or don't spin it at all, I think. And so that's an area I probably need to figure out how to improve.
Yeah, you got to work on that, because the caregiver has to take care of the self to be an effective caregiver. And you don't want to burn out. You don't want to develop health problems. So I didn't mean, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be lecturing you, but
no,
I do want,
good. I appreciate it.
I want you to really map a plan for self-care.
Absolutely.
You know, I am so appreciative that you took the time to come back, and I love hearing about your work at Family Promise, but I also like the fact that you've talked about ways that normal, regular, everyday people can get engaged. You talked about, you know, just forming partnerships with colleges and with churches. One of the things you mentioned is something that I didn't become aware of until a couple of months ago, which is that there is a, what do they call it? Housing instability, hungry. People are hungry on college campuses. Our local Howard Community College now has a food pantry.
Wow.
So, you know, when we talk about ways for just folks to get involved, you know, take 10 boxes of cereal to your college's food pantry, things like that. And so thank you for calling our attention to that. But there's some other stuff that we didn't get to go into depth on. And one is how you were an outsider who became an insider and built a network. So I would like it if you wouldn't mind, just come back and talk to me one more time about that. Because I want to go into detail and get your advice for people who are really serious about wanting to do transformative social change. Will you come back for another conversation?
Absolutely will, Joanne.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, self-care. That's what you're working on. Get a little optimism about that.
I will. I will, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichel Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.